Hello, and welcome to the Assembly Podcast. We pray that the Word of God will encourage you to live your life for Him, and that your life will be forever changed by the power of His Word. Stay tuned now for today's message, and remember, there is always a place for you at the Assembly.
Give the Lord one more hand clap this morning. We love you, Lord. And, praise the Lord. Such a great sense of the victory of Jesus in this place today. And we're so glad that you're here to worship with us on this Resurrection Sunday. This is, for us as believers, this is the most exciting day of us for the year. This is the day that that we remember and that we celebrate most of all that Jesus, who lived a sinless life, who died a sacrificial death, rose again on the third day. That's exciting to us today. And I hope we never lose the wonder of what Christ has done for us. And of course, we celebrate, I don't know about you, but I just woke up this morning with a sense of victory as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But how many know that the first Easter or the first Resurrection Sunday did not start with a sense of victory, right? Do you know that? It actually started as a pretty depressing day, a pretty sorrowful day. It actually started, the first Easter morning was pretty, it wasn't very exciting at all. Mary, who I'm going to talk about a little bit this morning, the mother of Jesus, Mary had spent her life with, just like every mom in the room this morning, you want your kids to grow up and have a full life, an abundant life, a happy life, a successful life, and all parents feel this way. We want our kids to grow up to have a pain-free life, don't we? I mean, we know that's not reality, but that's what we want. We want to save them as much pain and agony as possible. And Mary is waking up on the third day knowing that her son has gone through excruciating pain and has not just died, but died in agony. It was a nightmare for her. The first Easter was a nightmare for the believers and a nightmare for Mary, especially when Jesus was a baby. The godly man named Simeon had warned Mary at a young age that one day a sword will pierce his side and it will pierce your very soul as well. And those words had to haunt Mary all of her life. Even among the good things she saw Jesus do, there was always this echo in the back of her mind. What did Simeon mean when he said that a sword will pierce my soul too, regarding her son? And now on Easter morning, she knows what Simeon was talking about 30 plus years earlier. It's not a happy day at all. It's not a day of victory at all. It's a sad day. And she wakes up and she's going to the tomb of Jesus, not expecting victory, not expecting a resurrection. She's going there basically to pay her respects to her lost son. And on Mark chapter 16, verse number 1, this is what the word says about the first the first Easter. Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. And on the way, they were asking each other, "Who will roll the stone away for us from the entrance of the tomb?" But as they arrived, they looked up and they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and the women were shocked. But the angel said, "Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified." I love these words. "He isn't here, but he's risen from the dead. Amen. Look where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died." The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and this morning we celebrate the fact that you are alive. We celebrate that just as when Mary thought that all hope was lost, you had hope and you had power and you had resurrection power that she knew nothing about. God, I pray for every person in the room today who may be in a place where it seems like their hope is gone. Perhaps they have forgotten the promises that you've said to them. I pray that today that we will understand that one day it will be worth it. I pray that we'll understand that one day could be today if we will turn our lives over to you and trust you with our needs. God, I pray that today you will anoint me above my own ability to speak the words of God, the words of God alone. Anoint our ears, our hearts, and our minds to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. And we'll give you thanks for it. And everybody in the room said amen. So no one, absolutely no one, expected Jesus to raise to life on the third day. Not even Mary showed up at the tomb that day expecting Jesus to be alive. Matter of fact, her biggest worry was, how can we get to his dead body to anoint him, because we know he's dead. We know that there's nothing going on. We know hope is lost. We know that everything we had hoped for is gone. She knew that her son was gone. She was living a nightmare, but that day, her day changed. There was something that she couldn't see and something she didn't expect. And Mary knew, you know, Mary had endured a lot of pain as a mom. A lot of her pain was simply to do with the fact that, you know, not only did she give birth in a way that most people made fun of her, ridiculed her, didn't believe her, but now she's lived a life where most of the world is rejecting who her son says he is, and now he's dead. Now her worst nightmare has become a reality. Let me just take a poll real quick. How many of you have ever had your worst nightmare become a reality? Amen. Relationships you thought would never fail, fail. People you thought would never fail, fail. Secure things you found security in didn't work. And that's exactly what Mary's doing. So this morning, I want to ask you, what do you do when your best intentions and your best efforts seem like a waste? What do you do when the thing that you thought would never fail, fails? Because for Mary, that's exactly how she feels. It seems like everything that she had put her hope in is lost, but our series starting today for the next few weeks is one day. Say that with me, one day. What Mary discovers is one day, everything she didn't understand becomes clear. Mary discovered on Easter morning that one day everything she thought she had lost was actually great gain for her. Mary discovered that one day everything she thought was a hurt and everything she thought was harmful, God had worked it together to bring a blessing to her life. And friends, the resurrection of Jesus reminds us that one day every pain and every bit of sorrow and every injustice and every misunderstanding, if we will trust the Lord today, one day all of that will be collected by Him and restored to you. One day it will be worth it for the believer today. Amen? That's the word I want to share with you today. But what do I do in the meantime? Because we pick up Mary's story and she is in the meantime. She is in a day that's not defined by victory. She was not waking up that morning singing the worship songs that we sing today because victory had not yet come to her life. What do I do while I'm waiting for the resurrection? Because I believe that most of us in this room, there are certain resurrections we want to happen in our own life, in our own family. What do I do while I'm waiting for the resurrection? There's a few things I want to challenge you with this morning. If you got your handout when you walked in the door, you can turn that over and follow along with me in your notes if you like to. First thing, while you're waiting for the resurrection, never forget that Jesus can transform every part of your life. See, Mary forgot that Jesus could transform anything. The Bible says that on Saturday evening, in verse number 1, she got up and she went to buy burial spices. How many of you don't buy burial spices for someone you think is going to raise from the dead the next day? Right? You don't go through all the effort of preparing his body for burial if you think the next day he's going to wake up. No, she thought it was over. She thought, Jesus, you've now come to the place where you can't change anything. After all, the one who raised the dead is now the dead one. Right? But the resurrection reminds Mary that you're never too far. And friends, I want you to hear this. You're never too far that God cannot transform your life and your situation. Several years ago, someone bought me a book. They were kind of being funny with me, but they bought me a book entitled The Worst Case Scenario. And it's simply entitled, What Do You Do When the Worst Can Happen? What do you do if someone, you know, has a heart attack on an airplane? What do you do if someone, you know, all this stuff that you could, they just kind of made up scenarios and try to give you these far outlandish solutions. And for Mary, this is the worst case scenario. And you may be living a life today that feels like the worst case scenario, but I want to tell you that God has a plan for your worst case scenario. One day it will be worth it. One day God will move on your behalf if you will stay true to Him, and if you will understand, He can transform your life. So, Pastor, how do I hang on to that hope? How do I hang on to the fact that that he can transform my life when it seems like nothing about my life seems transformative. It seems like there's no movement. I want to tell you a few things. Number one, or A, in your notes today. If you're going to believe that God can transform your life, then you've got to learn to keep your expectations alive. Mary went to the tomb that day with zero expectations. Matter of fact, her expectations were so low. If you ever think your faith is sort of weak, are your expectations as low? Think about Mary. She gets to the tomb and the stone is rolled away. And seeing this take place, what she's personally heard Jesus say would happen, by the way. Her immediate interpretation is not that Jesus is risen. Her immediate interpretation is this: someone must have stolen his body. So give yourself a break the next time you feel like your faith isn't what it's supposed to be. I mean, Mary, the mother of Jesus, comes up to the tomb, rolled away, and her interpretation is that someone must have stolen his body. He can't be alive. That never even entered her mind. But I want to tell you, friends, if you're not careful, what you have experienced in the past will become a blindfold to what God wants to do in your present and your future. So you've got to learn to keep your expectations alive no matter what you've seen. Why did Mary think that Jesus was still dead when the stone was rolled around? Because, number one, she saw him die. Number two, she followed them to the grave a few days earlier. There's some people, let me just speak to this real quick. There's some people that think, well, Jesus really didn't raise from the dead. What happened was on the third day, the ladies went to the wrong tomb. That's a real theory that's floating out there and why people don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. But if they just read their Bible, they have found out that they actually followed them to the right tomb. And they actually watched them roll the stone in front of them. They didn't go to the wrong place. They knew exactly where he was. They'd already been there and saw that. But everything they saw robbed them of what Jesus was doing right in front of them. I just want to challenge you. Don't let what you have seen or what you're seeing right now rob you of what God has already promised to do in your life and in my life today. Amen? Don't let what you see rob you of your expectations. Secondly, don't allow what you've lost to cause you to miss what he's promised. The angel spoke to Mary in Luke chapter 24. He said, he's not here. He's not risen. Remember what he told you to go back to Galilee. In Mark chapter 16, verse number 8, they remembered at this point everything Jesus had said. The people who had stuck with Jesus the longest were now blind to his promise because everything they had lost made them forget what God has promised. I've said this before, but you may have forgotten it. I think that most of us as believers, let me not talk about you, let me just talk about me. One of the things I suffer from is I suffer from spiritual amnesia. Do you know what that is? It's where you forget all the great things that God has done in your past because you're just overwhelmed with the one need you have in front of you today. That's exactly where Mary is. She has seen Jesus do all these wonderful things, but right now all she sees is an empty tomb. And she thinks, man, I know what he said, but what she knew he had said got lost because of what she saw in front of her. Thirdly today, or C, I would challenge you, remember that your situation is not beyond his power. The same power, the Bible says, I'll say this in a few minutes again, but the word says that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead can now reside in you. Your situation is not beyond his power. So don't let anything in your life convince you that he cannot transform what you're facing today. Secondly today, what do I do while I'm waiting for the resurrection of my life? When I'm going through the routine that makes me wonder, is what I'm believing for worth it? What do I do when I'm going through that, when I'm following God, when what I see doesn't really line up with what I expect? Number two, this is very challenging to me, but I would challenge you to you today as well. Secondly, I would challenge you to explore the evidence of God's power. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is this. When Mary saw that the tomb was empty, the Lord placed an angel there that said these words to Mary, "Come and see the place where we laid him, where they laid him. Come and see that he really is not here." Sometimes when you and I go through hard times, sometimes when you and I are going through places like Mary was that day, when it seems like our hope is gone, sometimes in those seasons we become more reclusive and we become more closed-minded, and we sort of retract into ourselves, and we sort of, our curiosity and our faith in the things of God, they sort of shrink instead of reaching out. But I want to tell you today that sometimes the most heartful times of your life can be times of great discovery. If you'll decide, "Lord, though I know I'm in a place that seems like hell on earth, I believe that you are here with me and you can work in the middle of what I don't understand." Friends, if you'll discover him in those times, you'll discover him in a way you can never discover him in the easy times of life. So that's why Acts says in chapter 2, verse 24, that God raised him from the dead, releasing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by its clutches. And I want to tell you today that the power of God is alive in you and I today. And anything that tries to hang on to the believer at some point must release its clutches upon you. And so hurtful times are actually times to discover the power of God like never before. Amen? So Resurrection Sunday celebrates the fact that he is here to be discovered by you in a growing form, in a growing fashion this morning. Frank Morrison said this about the evidence of the resurrection. He said this, "Personally, I'm convinced that no body of men or women could persistently and successfully have preached in Jerusalem a doctrine involving a vacancy of the tomb of Christ. Without the grave itself being physically vacant, the facts were too recent. The tomb was too close to the center of Oriental life. Not all of the make-believe in the world could have purchased the utter silence of antiquity or given records to their impulsive unanimity. Only the truth itself and all of its unavoidable simplicity could have achieved all that." What was he saying? He was saying this, that all the evidence surrounding the resurrection of Jesus proved one thing, that Jesus is alive. There's a whole lot of speculation and questioning today. Did the resurrection of Jesus really occur? Did you know that if you want to go out into the atheistic circles of philosophy today, that every philosopher worth the shirt he's wearing will admit to this, that Jesus really lived and Jesus really died. Now there becomes some disagreement there, but not just the Word of God, but other documents verify that not only did Jesus raise from the dead, but that was the belief. How many know that if someone wanted to disprove the fact that Jesus was alive, all they had to do was produce a body. But a body was never produced. Lee Strobel has said it like this: we should believe that Jesus is alive, not just upon the foundation of God's word, but also because of the execution of Jesus is documented, because the testimony of Jesus is so early when people were proclaiming that Jesus is alive. It was so easy to go talk to people who saw him. It was so easy to find witnesses, over 500 people at one time that saw Jesus. The reason people came to Christ by the hundreds after his resurrection was because the more they explored the evidence, the more they believed that Jesus is alive. And friends, I just want to challenge you today that the more you explore the evidence, the more you open your life up to him, the more you ask him to reveal himself to you, the more you will discover that God is alive, that Jesus is risen, that he is here today to transform your life. If you'll just say, "Lord, show me yourself," he'll do it today. Examine the evidence. Don't close your mind off simply because what you've seen so far. Listen, what Mary had seen so far almost blinded her to what Jesus was doing in that day. Thirdly, this morning, what do I do while I'm waiting? What do I do when it seems like the life I'm living for God, especially believers today, you're in the room, you're a believer, or perhaps you're an unbeliever today and you say, you know, Pastor, I'm just not sure life is worth it. Here's the deal. You need to realize that dead things cannot produce or provide the life you are seeking. Luke chapter 24, Luke gives his account this way. It says they were terrified and they bowed their faces to the ground. And the angel asked them this question, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? I want to tell you today, there's thousands of people who are looking for real life among dead things. See, Jesus said that I've come in John chapter 10:10, that I've come that you may have life and life to the fullest. The only real source of real life is found in Jesus. You know, how many of you plan on going to McDonald's today after service to get your oil changed? Nobody? Why not? How many of you plan on going to Subway after service today to get a nice, juicy hamburger? Why not? Because they don't do that there, right? You might be willing, but they don't do that there, right? They don't do oil changes at McDonald's. They don't serve hamburgers at Subway, though I think they should. They don't do that there. The angel is saying, why are you here at the tomb of the dead? Why are you around dead places looking for living things? Listen, friends, the only thing in life that gives real life is the person of Jesus Christ. He is the only one that is the real life that you're looking for today. And I know that is counterculture. I know when you leave church today, you're going to see billboards and advertisements and commercials that says, if you'll buy this, if you'll do this, if you'll go to this place, this is what real life is about. But here's the thing. When you buy the thing and you go to the place, they always disappoint. And here's why. Because we keep looking for real life among dead things, and Jesus is the only real life. And the resurrection testifies to us today the fact that Jesus is alive, you and I can have real life. Isaiah tells us that surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, but yet we esteem him stricken and smitten of God. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I read that to you because Isaiah wrote those words long, long, long before Jesus was born and before he died. But Isaiah, he wrote those words not in future tense, but he wrote them in past tense, knowing that the crucifixion and the resurrection of God was ordained to be our redemption from the beginning of time. Friend, if Isaiah can see that from the point of the past, looking to the future, surely you and I can be in the future and look to the past and say, that is for me. He has borne my sickness. He has forgiven my sins. He has healed my disease. And everything that the cross provided is for me. And that was proven on the resurrection. Amen. So I would challenge you, realize that the dead things in your life cannot produce the life you're looking for. And fourth this morning, understand that his resurrection makes room for your resurrection. Mark 16, verse number 7, these are some important words we'll talk about in just a second. It says, now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there just as he told you before he died.
最新股态中升幅超过了百分之十。
Wait, hang on, hang on. All the way down here.
Hey! Hey!
我真不敢相信这件事情发生了。
Dude, no way! I told you!
You're not gonna believe what just happened.
Long ago, this is what they felt like when it happened. And today, it's how we should feel too. Because what it meant for them, it means for us.
How many know that we always share what we celebrate?No one has to tell you to share good news. And the good news is this, the fact that he is alive and that he is resurrected from the dead means that you and I can also experience personal resurrection in our life. Mary went to the tomb expecting to find confirmation that life as she knew it really was over. But instead she found just the opposite.That life that she had never known it could happen. And friends, I want to declare to you today that life as you've known it, in some areas of your life, it might be over. But the resurrection declares that life can be something like it's never been before for those who will call upon the name of Jesus.Ephesians chapter 1 says this, and I'll close with this. I'll also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power that is for us who believes in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand.
Thank you for listening to the Assembly Podcast.We hope you were strengthened by the Word of God today. The Assembly is growing and our ministries are doing big things for Jesus. If you are in the Cabot area, come by and check us out on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit our website at theassemblycabot.com or check us out on Facebook and Instagram.